This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for Very Important People, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Try not to look like Ned Beatty.
All right, I'm ready to go when you are.
Digital Review. This week on Dueling Review, we review James Bond number 4, written by Warren Ellis, art by Jason Masters. James Bond is alone in Berlin with nothing but the clothes on his back and the gun in his hand. When help is offered from an unexpected source, Bond has no choice but to accept it, even though it may guarantee he doesn't live through the night. Dynamite Entertainment proudly continues its first James Bond comic book series in over 20 years. Shaken, not stirred.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews. I'm Stephen Schleicher, and Matthew is here with me again this week. So I don't, James Bond, the Varger storyline, V-A-G-R,
V-A-R.
V-A-G-R, yes.
V-A-R.
Vager.
No. Vager was the name of the ship that came back from the Borg in Star Trek The Motionless Picture. This is Varger.
Vager.
No, in Norse mythology, a Varger is a wolf. It's the word for wolf.
Ah.
Specifically, usually Fenrir.
I see.
But yeah.
Well, what does a wolf have anything to do with this?
Well, there's something weird going on, and there may be a wolf in the wind.
Maybe. So what's happened before is James Bond has been assigned to some 008 tasks after his murder, and that takes him to Berlin, where he is trying to track down a new drug that has infiltrated into London. And what he has discovered is, or what MI6 has discovered, is that this new form of cocaine has a ticking time bomb, a biological agent in there that essentially eats you from the inside. Think of it as a fast-acting, what's that thing that they have in Africa that kills you?
Everything.
No. That disease that came into the United States earlier this year.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I think
it was a fast-acting gorilla grod.
Yes.
A Candiro fish is what it is. It's a Candiro fish.
No, but it was definitely a virus that will kill you quickly once you start taking it. Mm-hmm. James Bond has been told that this guy, our big bad, will help them track down the location of the place. Turns out he is the bad person that's distributing this stuff. Right. He was in charge of concentration camps in Sarajevo when he was a youth.
Right.
And he also owns a bionics lab, so two of our big bads, or not big bads, but thugs that we see in this series so far have had bionic implants or bionic arms and limbs, and this issue is basically Bond taking on one of those bads and coming face-to-face with the Master Overlord.
And it is very important to note that this is a Bond based on the novels of Ian Fleming and not a Bond based on the movie adventures, which have been roughly adapted from them. This is a very brutal Bond, to where in this episode or this issue's fight sequence, he's like fighting Krav Maga. He's going for the elbows. He's going for the eyes. He's going for the testes. He's ready to kill this guy.
Well, he's just fighting. Brutal. So, I mean, that's interesting.
Brutal.
And, but is, I mean, this is not an original Ian Fleming story. This is based on the characters.
Yes, this is the darker character.
Yeah, and that's not such a big deal. I don't have a problem with that, although I will say that since this is mostly a fight issue with a little exposition, in fact, I would say of the four issues, two-thirds of them are probably fighty-fighty that extend for most of the issue.
Right.
Which I don't really – I guess that there's a problem with that in a sense, but I don't mind this rougher – James Bond. I mean, honestly, in a day and age where we're watching people get their heads blown off in Walking Dead, and we're seeing much more graphic atrocities in books like Crossed and others, even other spy thrillers that we see from the likes of Warren Ellis and Garth Ennis and others, Ed Brubaker. This is pretty tame. I mean, yes, there are I think it was last issue 3. There was multiple sequences of James Bond has this new bullet that when it shoots, as soon as it impacts skin, it breaks into 8 different pieces and the exit wound is much, much more lethal than the entry wound. Mm-hmm. And they did show that kind of in graphic detail.
Right.
But really, to me, there's not a lot of shock going on in this quote unquote harder Bond. I mean, this is not PG Bond. That you take your kids to the movies to see.
Right. And that, I think, not necessarily a shock factor. Having been experienced, you know, my Bond started
as a secret agent. Yeah.
Yeah. It pretty much started with Never Say Never Again. So this is definitely a more brutal, more pragmatic, more awful Bond than I really like. It doesn't necessarily, I don't have to like the main character of a book. I mean, I don't have to like the people that I record podcasts with. No, that's too mean. But I don't have to like the main character of a book that I read. And I don't like Bond in this episode.
Okay.
I don't like Bond in this season, this series. I don't know. I think that part of it is I've always had a problem with that whole anything goes kind of attitude, that only the strong survive, the – when it comes to a spy story, for me, to divorce a spy, an espionage story from the reality that is espionage, I want it gussied up and fancied up, and I want it to be all, you know.
No, so you don't want real. You want fantasy.
I want Roger Moore, you know, under the ocean. I don't necessarily want real espionage because real espionage is by nature a little bit creepy and kind of almost evil. I don't know, but yeah, I don't necessarily like this Bond character. That doesn't mean I don't like this Bond series, which is kind of, you know, weird.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because right at the very beginning, Bond goes and kills a guy who killed 008. And then he comes back in to meet with a Q, and Q's right. Like, oh, it only took you 19 hours to do that. On some other mission, you'd be gone for weeks or months or whatever.
Right.
And he makes a comment about, you know, there's difference between doing espionage and going on a revenge mission. And he kind of Bond, the character, repeats that several times in the series so far, especially when he arrives in Berlin. He's like, look, I'm in, I'm out, I'm back in my bed by 9 o'clock tonight. He, even Bond doesn't want this kind of a mission. He doesn't want a break some bones and make some threats kind of mission. He wants to go in. He likes the James Bond where, yes, that you're on top of a Swiss mountain with a hotel full of beautiful women and a bald Telly Savalas telling you your family tree. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants, but that's not the mission he's given here. And because he does have to work within the confines of his job, he is doing this brutal grunt work, essentially. And I really think that this Bond character believes that this is just grunt work that he probably could have gotten some other people to do for him or for MI6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is basically spy scut work in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not a Bond mission.
I'm not super thrilled. I mean, this feels like, and nothing against Warren Ellis, who I think is a fantastic writer, but this feels like some of the Pierce Brosnan Bond tales, where it's very upfront about what's going on. There's no real mystery to who's behind anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's somewhat disappointing, right?
Yeah.
You know, especially coming off of a James Bond movie where you don't know what the big reveal is until literally the third act. You know who kind of maybe this bad person is, but you don't realize the entire connection and scope of it until he starts twisting his mustache and cutting into Bond and telling him that he's going to die. So this is, to me, it's an interesting story, but it's a rather boring story, if that makes sense, in that there are some interesting moments that I like about it, but overall, it's not thrilling. And I think the biggest problem is trying to choreograph a fight scene on the page,
right,
when you're not dealing with metahumans, is rather boring. I mean, even Hawkeye or Black Widow, if you look at their fight sequences, they're much more dynamic or shorter. But this one just goes on for, I think, far too long. And
like a third of the issue, yeah.
And it just doesn't. There's never a point where I'm reading this where I feel like anyone is in any danger. Even the bad guy. I don't even feel that the bad guy is in any danger when Bond is injecting him full of no-dose.
And I feel like this is an entirely subjective statement based on my reading. I have read a lot of Warren Ellis. I really enjoy Warren Ellis. And the thing about Warren Ellis is the closer he is to reality, the less I really care.
Mm.
And I don't mean that as saying that he is a bad writer when he's dealing with reality. It, to me, it just feels like Warren Ellis excels at the stories. The place I first saw was Hellstorm. And he took the son of Satan, who was this weird, campy 70s guy, and turned him into a really menacing presence. You know, he wrote Transmetropolitan, and Transmetropolitan is this wild future story. It's still grim in a lot of ways. It's still very down to earth, but it has moments of just wild creativity and bizarre sort of here's a flying monkey
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like while I appreciate what they're doing here, and this is basically intentionally grounded James Bond. In more ways than one, you know, he's been told to stop running his budgets up and stop padding his expense accounts and, you know, be an actual spy and not a jet-setting lunatic. This is not my bag, you know, when it comes to especially a Warren Ellis story. I want Warren Ellis to be able to go blah, 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 over the top.
Right.
Like a global frequency. Or like, you know, I didn't care for it, but he did the best Ultimate Fantastic Four when he brought in Ultimate Galactus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's Next Wave, which is mm-hmm. you know, 12 issues of perfection for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Galactus.
Well, I don't know. It's a James Bond story, and it feels mm-hmm. very much like Quantum of Solace, or like I said, the whatever the James Bond 20 film was with Denise Richardson. Was it that one? No, it wasn't Skyfall. Skyfall's really good. But the Denise Richards.
I thought Christmas only came once a year.
So
I can't
the
do
thing. Here's what I like. You can't do a Sean Connery either.
I can't too.
Here's what I like about this James Bond series so far is it is full of diversity. Q is a black man. Moneypenny is presumably the same Moneypenny that we've seen from the films. The two agents that are killed in Berlin, one is Asian, another one is also a black man. And so I really like this mix of characters that we see in here, and it's not just totally whitewashed. It is a very believable organization of people trying to prevent bad things from happening. And so I really appreciate that in this book, that it's super diverse and, you know, one race isn't depicted as being the bad guy, et cetera. So I really appreciate that. And I thought the art overall is very good. I just wish the story was a little bit more energetic and moving. This feels like a 4-issue miniseries, but it appears to be going on for a couple of more issues past this.
I think it's an ongoing.
Must be, but
now I don't know if this creative team is sticking around. But it's, I think art-wise, there is some stiffness, especially in the fight sequences. And part of that, I think, may be intentional because one of the characters doesn't change his expression until something really terrible happens to him. And that is clearly intentional. But I feel, you know, and I felt this with earlier issues when I was reviewing issue one for the site, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that there's some stiffness in this art that, again, is intentional, almost certainly, but it doesn't necessarily work for me the way that I thought it did. Jason Masters is not a name I'm familiar with, but, you know, he does really great backgrounds. He has the ability to do these really, really excellent facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the nature of this story, you know, most of this story is James Bond, who ranges from determined to argh, and a character whose facial expression doesn't change until, again, he's being murdered. And then the bad guy behind the glass who's all smug and Martin Shkreli looking.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Bond.
So overall, I'm going to give this issue fair to middling. It's okay. It is, obviously, it's not a jumping on point, but it's not too far into the series where you can't catch up. And I'm going to bet that within the next issue or two, this arc has to be wrapped up. Well, it's going to be wrapped up by issue six.
Right.
Because that's how trade paperbacks are collected. But I just thought it was average. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I just was like, and I read all four issues all together, but at the end I was just kind of like, okay, fine. This is not the best James Bond. This is certainly not a 007 book. This is definitely a 008 book, because that's the job he's on. So
003.5.
Giving it 2.5 slices of meatloaf.
I would give it
002.5.
A pass, as Rodrigo is fond of saying. Yeah, pass. Because while it is an entirely workmanlike book, there's nothing about it that you can say, this is wrong, this is bad, this is awful. It's just sort of,
it's there.
You know what it really feels like? It feels like in an attempt to ground the Bond character, they've tied off all of the things that make Bond more than just, you know, Jason Bourne or any of the other generic action movie guys. And in a lot of ways, that's what they've done. And they've done it intentionally. And they've done it in the style of the current Daniel Craig movies, which are eschewing the gimmicks and the, you know, the weird stuff and the flying cars and the puns, and doing Bond more as a, you know, traditional character or a more down to earth character. That's fine. That's a valid approach. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go. That is James Bond at number 4 out this week from Dynamite Entertainment.
If it was James Bond Jr.,
this wouldn't even be a very good James Bond Jr. book.
But he's chasing scum around the world, dude.
Yeah, but no, it doesn't work. I don't know. Maybe I just, you know what Ed Brubaker does in his series, the Criminal series with those guys, and it's not really spy stuff, but it is thriller stuff. Mm-hmm. It works really well. This just didn't interest me, and I was like, man, if this is the state of spy thrillers in comics, pass. And I know that's not the case. Sad, anyway. Anyway, coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 10, number 24. We also have Fate Zero trade paperback, Dragon Age Mage Killer number 3, Steam Man number 5, and Tomb Raider 2016 number 1. I know a lot of people are going to be excited about that one. Over at DC Comics, they have Astro City number 32, Batman and Robin Eternal number 20, because that series will never end, Clean Room number 5, Dr. Fate number 9, Harley Quinn number 25. Notice that we're missing out on all of our 49s this next week.
Whoa, the new 49? What?
There are no 49s that I see on the list for next week. Oh, no, I'm sorry. There's Wonder Woman 49.
Wonder Woman 49.
There's also reprints of Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles team-ups, issues 1 and 2, if you want to grab a hold of that. Have you read either one of those? I have not yet. I've got them.
Which
I just
one?
Haven't. The Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle team-up series.
I reviewed number one for the site. I haven't read anything since.
Oh, okay. How was it? Good?
It was interesting. There was nothing in that issue that immediately made me say, boy, I don't think they fit together. But boy, I don't think they fit together.
IDW Publishing. Now, this is we're working off of a short list. We don't know if this is the finalized list. But IDW Publishing only has a few books coming out next week, it looks like, with the biggest one being TMNT Color Classics Series 3, number 14. It's where they take the black and whites and color them, I believe.
Mm.
Image Comics has Astronauts in Trouble number 9, Birthright number 14, Bitch Planet number 7, Citizen Jack number 4, Sex Criminals number 14. These are mostly mature reader books. Symmetry number 3 and Tithe number 8. That's actually from Top Cow, but Top Cow is owned by Image Comics.
Yeah.
Marvel Comics has Amazing Spider-Man 1.2. That's a second printing variant. And Amazing Spider-Man number 8. Also coming out. Oh, this is going to be good. I think this will be really interesting. Avengers Standoff, Welcome to Pleasant Hill. What is Pleasant Hill? This is going to kick off a bigger story arc that apparently is going to spill out all across the... I don't think it's their next big event, but I think it's their next big Avengers event.
I think it's, the setup. Well, Pleasant Hill, of course, is where Tobey Maguire went when he was sucked into the TV by Don Knotts. So clearly what this is they're going to bring Spider-Man into the MCU with this.
No, I don't think so.
Dude, I've seen the movie. Pleasant Hill, he's all like, oh, it sure is the 1950s. And then Jeff Daniels is all, I like to paint. And then his dad is the shoveler from Mystery Man. And he's like, boy, I sure am in the 50s. You've seen it.
I've seen it. It didn't quite go like that.
That's exactly how it went.
No, I don't remember. I think it was like, hey, I kissed a boy. Now everything's in color and everybody hates me because we're bringing color into this world. And suddenly there are those people that want to accept change and those people that don't want to accept change. And we have to be able to get all together on this.
Dude, it's not a metaphor. It's how you get Spider-Man into the MCU.
No.
Telling you.
Carnage number 5 comes out next week, as does Darth Vader number 15. That's a second printing. That's a Vader Down tie-in, too, if you haven't been reading that series.
Vader Down.
A lot of second printings also next week from Marvel for some reason. Max Ride, number 4, Ultimate Flight. Mighty Thor, number 4.
Ride.
Power Man and Iron Fist, number 1. Silver Surfer, number 2. Squadron Supreme, number 4. Star Wars, number 16. Star-Lord, number 4.
Wars Lord, number 72.
And Ultimates 3. That's a second printing there. Ultimates 3. Ultimates. And then Web Warriors number 4. And all the rest category, we have some interesting books. We got the second printing of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 0. Amazing World of Gumball trade paperback. That's another show that makes zero sense, and even the kids don't like it. Blacklist number 7. Blood Feud number 5. Cave Woman Sister of the Arena number 2. And Cross Bad Lines number 94, Matthew, with the torture wraparound cover. And they also have something that's called the C-Day Worldwide cover. Man, 6 months, Matthew, you'll be reviewing that Cross Bad Lands number 100. Disney Fairies hardcover, volume 18. Divinity number 1, that's a $1 debut. Doctor Who, the Ninth Doctor number 4. Enormous V2 number 5. I have no idea what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
Grumpy Cat and Pokey number 1. Imperium number 13. Now that's, that's the ongoing now. They did have the Grumpy Cat miniseries.
Right.
That came on like gangbusters, and now they're making it an ongoing. What did that say? Kingdom Bum. It's a mature reader's book. Kingdom Bum number 3. That's probably like from Eros Comics or something like that. Looking for Group number 11, Lumberjanes number 23, Man Plus number 2.
Don't.
Let's see. Puke Force hardcover. Man, there are some real winners coming out next week, Matthew. Puke Force hardcover. It's a $22 book. I have no idea. I got to look and see what.
You know, this week's solicitations have reminded me that after 35 years, maybe I don't need to read comics anymore.
Puke Force is a social satire written dark and dense across Chippendale's deconstructed multiverse of walking, talking M&Ms, hamsters, and cycloptic yet glamorous trivia hosts. There you go. I'm not going to read any further.
Cycloptic.
Yes. Red Sonja Volume 3, Number 2. RoboCop, Number 5. Odd Parenthood. That's also mature readers. Simpsons Comics, Number 226. Shakira Strike Force. Or no, Shakiri Force Hunters, Number 1. I'm waiting for Shakira's comic book to come out.
Shakira Strike Force.
Super Zero, Number 3. Wack Fu, Number 3. Twilight Zone, 1959. And Wrath of the Eternal Warrior, Number 4.
Wow.
Next week on Dueling Review, Power Man and Iron Fist, Number 1, written by David Walker with art by Sanford Green. We know you've been waiting to see Luke Cage and Danny Rand back together and back to street stomping basics. Power Man and Iron Fist are tracking a mystery with all the ingredients of a classic Heroes for Hire tale. Expect old friends, hired goons, crime lords, weird magic, plenty of power, a flurry of fists, and as much bromance as you can handle. I think that's where the music swells. And as much bromance as you can handle. It's Power Man and Iron Fist reunited with David Walker and artist Sanford Green, and they're making it feel so good. Reunited and it feels so good.
Okay, you can stop that.
You can show your support for this show and everything that we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a very important patron at members.majorspoilers.com/subscribe. Your contribution allows us to keep this show going, pay for our growing costs, and give us the motivation to proceed with more content for you each and every week. Thank you so much for checking out Dueling Review, and we're going to talk with you next time when you'll hear Matthew say,
"You're telling me, aha!"
Oh man, I hope you don't say that next time.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.